We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, and we want to thank you for listening to the Refresh radio broadcast and pray that you're having a great week. Today, we'd like to mention to you on the air here about Advanced Christian Training Schools. Advanced Christian Training Schools. It's a free video Bible school. It meets in our fellowship hall tonight at from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. If you have more questions about this, some of the teachers that they've had have been Bayless Conley, Charles Stanley. We've seen a number of lessons taught by him. And if you had more questions, this is not a video Bible school that's part of our ministry per se. It just meets at our in our fellowship hall, but we wanted to let you know about it. If you have more questions, you could reach Ted or Linda Impsom at 633-0432. 633-0432. If you'd like to grow in your relationship with the Lord, like to learn more about the Bible, 633-0432. And it's a free video Bible school. Today, I'd like to take you into the New Testament. We've been talking here for a little over a week now about getting ready for transformation in 2015. And today, I'd like to take you to the little epistle of Jude. It's one of the smallest books in the Bible, only 25 verses, only one chapter. If somebody tells you to turn to Jude chapter 2, you know that they're trying to pull your leg. And so only 25 verses, and I absolutely love this little letter. It was a book that God used to really revolutionize the way that I studied, the way that I taught. I used to be down in Melbourne as a youth pastor. I served there for about 3 years. I also sold shoes at the time, and there were a lot of ministers in the church, a lot of ministers that came through that church and utilized their giftings there. And the person who was a retired pastor was teaching on Wednesday nights, and something came up to where he needed to be out of town for several weeks. He was up north, and the pastor of the church asked me to teach for two or three Wednesday nights. And I thought, well, what in the world could, now remember, I'm a young guy. I didn't nearly have the gift of gab then that I have now. And I thought, what in the world could I possibly preach on that would not take a real long time, but it would be enough to cover two or three lessons. And so I ended up being in the book of Jude, and it ended up lasting, even though it's only got 25 verses, we spent about 6 weeks in the Bible study, and then that guy came back. But I discovered a new way of studying, if you will, and from what I had been doing, and I started going back into the original languages and looking at what things talked about, what things meant, because other languages, those words do not always just translate into the exact same word that we've got there. We either have more words than they've got, or they've got more words than we have. And so it really opened up my eyes, and there is just a lot of truth in this little 25 verse book. Today, I'd like to take you to verse number 20, and we're going to read on from verse 20 all on down through verse 25. And we're going to look and see about this transformation process. And it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." Before we get into this aspect of transformation, there's a little bit of verse number 24, and it is tremendous insight into the capacity of God. It says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling." I am so thankful that God's power is greater than what I've realized thus far. It's greater than what you've utilized so far. And that is, he is not only able to redeem us from our past sin, but his presence in our lives currently is sufficient to keep us from stumbling, whether it's in rugged terrain or whether it's on a smooth surface, whatever it might be, he is able to keep us from stumbling. I saw some pictures the other day, and I can't really remember exactly where I saw them, but they were pictures of mountain goats, and it showed these little bitty goats on the faces of cliffs, and you would look and say, how in the world did they ever get there? If I was in the place where that mountain goat was, I would have been terrified. I would have just been clinging to something and say, somebody had to have put me here in order for me to get here. But I want you to know, nobody put that goat there. It got there on its own. But the other thing is, I looked at those pictures, is I have no idea. Now, this is a very sheer cliff face, and as like, I have no idea how that goat is going to get from there to wherever it's going to get to a safe place. But they have that capacity. You and I, we may have been in the past in some very treacherous spiritual terrain, but God was able to deliver us from that place, and he is able to put us in a place where it is very safe, that we can successfully navigate the journey of faith that God has for us. The other thing I think about when I think of this passage is when David was transporting the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, and he was doing it with a cart, the way that the Philistines had ushered the Ark of the Covenant out of their territory. They had sent it to, I believe it was Jabesh-Gilead, and David decided he was going to bring it into Jerusalem, and so he had a new cart. There was a lot of pomp, a lot of circumstance, and it said that when the oxen came to the threshing floor, that they stumbled, and the threshing floor was a very smooth place. There are some times in our lives when our journey, our relationship with God, if we're in treacherous terrain, that our relationship with God is never going to have been more intimate, more powerful, more revelatory. We're going to be hearing from God, seeing God, because we know that without him, we are doomed. Sometimes the place of stumbling for Christians is like it was for those oxen, and that is when things are going smoothly, when there are no financial pressures, there are no pains in our body, there are no afflictions going on, everything is great with our families, with our spouses, everything is great at work, and boom, the next thing you know, the enemy, in the midst of all of that peace and tranquility, sneaks up with a stone of stumbling. Well, it tells us that God is able to keep us from stumbling. And the great thing is, it doesn't just mean keep us from stumbling in the treacherous place, not just keep us from stumbling in a smooth place, but he has the ability to keep us from stumbling in every place, whether we're young or whether we're middle-aged or whether we're old, whether we're poor, whether we're middle-class, whether upper-class, it doesn't matter. God has the ability to keep us from stumbling. And I want you to know that that is a tremendous blessing. I am thankful that my ability to successfully navigate life is not dependent upon my wisdom. It's not dependent upon my empowerment, but it is God who has the ability. So the wise thing for us to do here in 2015 is stay close to God. Whenever I see a passage like this that talks about the relationship, I think very much of a parent and a child, a very small child, and they're walking, and the parent likes to keep the child as close to them as possible. You know, and if it's of the type of environment where you can't, the parent a lot of times will grab hold of the child's hand. Even if the child's hand is not engaged, the parent will have hold of the child and keep them safe to be able to cross the street or navigate a slick road or whatever. God is that loving Heavenly Father for you and I. He has us in His hand, and His hand is huge. His hand, in the center of His hand, in the center of His will, is the safest and the most enjoyable place that you will ever be in all of your life. Let's go back up to verse number 20. We're in the book of Jude, right before the book of Revelation, and it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith." Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. So I want to ask you today, which foundation is your life based on? A lot of people will have the foundation of their job. A lot of people will have a foundation of their family. A lot of people will have a foundation of their education. I've known people that education was their idol. It was just utterly important. And I don't want you to get me wrong. Education, I believe that we should be lifelong learners. But the best source of learning for me, it's not the only source of learning, but God is the best person that I know that I can learn from. Here it says that the foundation that God wants us to have that will manifest in every other area of our life is when we build ourselves up on our most holy faith. I preached back at Christmas time about Emmanuel, and in Isaiah chapter 7, it says, if we do not believe, then we will not be able to stand. Faith is absolutely essential in order for us to stand. If you look in the book of Ephesians, it talks about put on the whole armor of God, and when you have done all that you can do, stand. Well, we stand in faith. We need to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. That needs to be the foundation. And faith in our relationship with God, faith will in Jesus Christ, it will manifest itself with blessings, with what structure arising in our relationships, structure arising in our discipline, structure arising in our intellectual capacity, our speaking ability. Whenever we are operating by faith, and that is doing whatever God tells us to do, the time that He tells us to do it, the manner in which He tells us to do it, that will manifest structure, it'll manifest growth, it'll manifest health in other areas of our life. It says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up. That means that we have the responsibility. Did you know that if I don't want to do something, there's not anybody on the planet that is going to be able to make me do it until I decide to do it. My parents tell a story, and I don't remember this, but it sounds like me. And so, but they tell a story of when I was going to kindergarten, and that they were trying to teach me how to write my name. They were trying to teach me my phone number. They were trying to teach me my address. They were trying to teach me my ABCs, you know, how to count to 20. They were trying to teach me all of this stuff. And I had the mindset and I said, no, I am going to learn this when I go to kindergarten. And so they finally got to the place where they stopped trying to teach me all of these things because my mind was set that I wasn't going to learn it until I went to school. I was going to school to learn, and I wasn't going to learn before I got there. And so the first day from school, my parents said that I brought home a note from my teacher, and it says that I need to learn how to write my name, how to write my address, my phone number, my ABCs, and count to 20. And all of these things that they had been trying to teach me, I had refused to learn. But now I had a note from my teacher, and it said he needs to learn this in order to be successful in school. But in spite of all their efforts, because I wouldn't build myself up, it was futile for them to try and do it. Well, once my teacher said, you know, they need to do that, then I went home and I learned them that night and went back to school the next day. So today, you and I have the option of embracing the things that God wants us to build up in our life. But in spite of how much your spouse may want you to be a man of faith, be a woman of faith, your children need you to be men and women of faith. In spite of the longings that your pastor has for you or your Sunday school teacher has for you, until you decide, you make that decision to build yourself up in faith, then it won't happen. You know, I often think about what we look like to God. You know, because here in the natural realm, you have a baby that's born and oh, aren't they're cute and all of that. But then they start to grow. And a lot of times most of the times you can get pretty close to guessing at how old a child is because you see their physical development. And if they aren't developing physically, then you don't necessarily know how old they are, but it's also could be indicative of a problem. Well, I often think of what we look like to God in the spiritual realm, in that do we look like a person? Like I've been walking in the faith now for over 40 years. To God, do I look like a man who has known him for 40 years in the realm of faith? Do I have the peace of God that passes understanding? Is the joy of the Lord my strength? Is his word, which is settled forever in heaven and on earth, is that important to me? Do I long to do his will? Because you can sit in church and you can be just like I was in kindergarten and you can refuse to grow. You can say, I am not going to learn. I'm not going to learn from my pastor. I'm not going to learn from my Sunday school teacher. I'm just here doing my religious duty. I'm putting my carcass in a chair here up until 12 o'clock. And, you know, if God can't do something in one hour a week, then, you know, I'll just wait till next week. But that's not what the Bible talks about here. It says that we need to have the desire, the longing, the drive to want to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. And so may 2015, may it be a year where we live by faith and we grow by faith. You know, when I asked my wife to marry me, I did not ask her to take a simple journey. I asked her to take with me a leap of faith. And I want you to know that if somebody had asked us, what is your 5-year plan? Our 5-year plan at, you know, the 5-year mark wouldn't have looked like anything we had planned. I can tell you this, we're coming up on much more than 5 years, and I never would have imagined where God has taken us, where he's brought us from and where he has brought us to. And that's the same way with you and I. We build ourselves up in our faith in God, and our faith in God should be that we trust him. Even when we don't know what the details are or the circumstances are, we trust him. Well, how do you do that? It says here in verse number 20 that you pray in the Holy Spirit. You pray in the Holy Spirit. At Merit Assembly of God, we do not just want to be Pentecostal in theology, just believing in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We believe that you are edified, that the Holy Spirit edifies the body of Christ. Paul writes, and he says, I will pray in the understanding and I will pray in the Spirit. I am thankful that God bestowed himself, the Holy Spirit, upon us to guide us into all truth, to teach us all things, to remind us of the things that were said, but also to edify us, to build us up. I know that there are a number of people out there that believe in the gift of the Holy Spirit indwelling us, but I want you to know that gift is meant more than just as a coffee table decoration. God gave us himself to build us up. And there's the temptation in modern churchdom here to isolate the Holy Spirit and say, oh no, the Holy Spirit, we're not going to allow him to operate in our corporate worship services. And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to deal with the unbeliever. By the way, I hope that you are joining us in praying for those unsaved loved ones that you have. I'm going to be preaching this coming Sunday, and we're believing for souls to be saved. And so we're challenging our congregation to invite people to church who do not know Jesus. We're called to be fishers of men. We're to go to where they are. And so, but a lot of people wonder why we aren't seeing souls getting saved, and yet we're not allowing the Holy Spirit, who convicts people of their sins, to operate in their life. On the same premise, we wonder why there are so many Christians that are walking around in spiritual immaturity, and yet the praying in the Holy Spirit is used to build us up in our faith and make us stronger. So I encourage you to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is a free gift from God, and you receive the Holy Spirit the same way you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that is by faith, saying, Father, I want to thank you. Now, if you walked up to me and you gave me a $100 bill, I tell you what, if you walked up and gave me a penny, I'm just the type of guy, I will say thank you for that, because that's a penny more than I had before. And I would say thank you. And so whenever you have the Holy Spirit, have received the Holy Spirit by faith, there is going to be an expression, a verbal expression that begins to operate in your life that is going to express gratitude. Listen, the praying in the Holy Spirit is not weirdness. Praying in the Holy Spirit, Romans says that he prays in accordance with the will of God. And so, verse number 21, as I look at the clock here, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And so, if you are listening today and something has happened, whether it was something traumatic or maybe just life got in the way and suddenly you found yourself out of the habit of gathering together with other believers of like faith, I want to encourage you to get back into the body of Christ. If you do not have a church home, we would love for you to come and visit, be a part of Merit Assembly of God. We are a church family. Some people don't like that concept. We happen to very much foster the picture of a spiritual family. You won't find a lot of blood relatives at Merit Assembly of God, but what you will find are a lot of blood of Jesus relatives. And so people of like faith, tremendous believers. And you and I, we have the responsibility not only to build ourselves up in our most holy faith, not only praying in the Holy Spirit, but we also have the responsibility to keep ourselves in the love of God. And then it says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And so when you get up of a morning, I want to ask you this question as we start to draw down to a conclusion here. What do you look for when you get up of a morning? Are you looking for that first problem of the day? Are you looking to reflect upon how little sleep you got or how much sleep you got? Are you looking for that first pain, that first creak, first thing to complain about, that first traffic obstacle, first problem at work? Here, the scripture says that we look for mercy all the way until eternity. Look at what it says. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Mercy is quite simply defined as this: me not receiving what I did deserve. Me not receiving what I did deserve. You know, there have been some times in life where when I deserved a swift kick in the backside. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful I didn't get those. But when it comes to the spiritual realm, my sin, you know, the law said that the soul that sins, it should die. And if you're guilty in one part of the law, you have broken the whole thing. And, you know, I was guilty, but thank God for his mercy that was expressed in Jesus Christ. And instead of receiving the wages that I did deserve, God gave me a gift that I didn't deserve, and that was Jesus Christ. Look on for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you and I, we have a tendency to look back at our salvation encounter with God, and we see mercy there. But this looking here not only talks about looking to the past, but it talks about looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ for mercy that is ours unto eternal life. That means every day I'm looking for the mercy of God. I'm looking for the mercy of God in my life. I'm looking for the mercy of God in your life. I'm looking for the grace of God in my life. I'm looking for the grace of God in your life. Don't ever, ever, ever stop looking for mercy. I am so thankful that we have a God who is full of mercy. Now, some people get this overbalanced and they say that God is so merciful, so loving, so kind that there's never going to be a judgment day or an accountability. I want you to know that that does not bear out in the Word of God. God is merciful. He is loving. He is kind, but he is doing everything to set you up so that you will be successful at that day of judgment. That's when the mercy is fully appreciated. So today, not only be a recipient of mercy, but be an observer of mercy and one who extends mercy to other people. There's a verse in the Old Testament, to the merciful you show yourself merciful. And today I want to see God merciful. Father, right now, for those who are listening, I pray today, God, that everyone would be building themselves up in their faith realm. Lord, so many times we look at bank accounts and think that that's the true measure of wealth. God, I want to thank you that our relationship with Jesus is the real measure of wealth. I pray, God, that we would build ourselves up, that we would be praying unto you, hearing your voice, hearing your direction, and Lord, that we would be practitioners and recipients of your great mercy. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.